The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Me, Kalar, and I'm the Judicial Clerkship Coordinator. Sorry if there's any microphone feedback. We're podcasting this for your classmates who couldn't attend. We have with us today 1-2L and 2-3Ls who have all done judicial internships or externships. So I'm going to start by having them introduce themselves and tell a little bit about when and where they interned or externed, whether during the summer or during the academic year, a little bit about the courts that they worked in, how they got their internships, and that sort of thing. Emily, do you want to start?
Sure. I worked the summer at the tax court here in D.C. I actually found the job through CareerLink. I was really surprised to see that because they usually don't hire interns. So I did that for the summer. Basically, kind of filled in as a clerk because one of the judge's clerks was pregnant. Drafted her opinions and did research and stuff like that. And then she asked me to come back afterwards at the end of the summer. So I'm going to be clerking there after I graduate in May.
I interned after my first year at, let me back up. I interned after my first year. I applied to the Judicial Internship Opportunity Program through the ABA section of litigation. I was then interviewed and placed with Judge Tatel on the D.C. Court of Appeals, D.C. Circuit, and then I externed during the spring of my second year with Judge Ross on D.C. Superior Court, and he was on the civil calendar, so it was complex civil litigation that I was just assisting with research, drafting. I had one long-term writing project that was very helpful, so I had a couple of different experiences.
My name is Dave. I'm kind of the token 2L up here, I guess. After first year, I externed at the Western District of North Carolina. I kind of went through the process, which is pretty similar to what you guys went through and what you guys will probably end up going through, which involves just kind of cold sending out lots and lots of cover letters and resumes to lots of different judges. And I was lucky enough to get an opportunity in North Carolina because of job connections and college connections down there. But the work that I did mainly consisted of drafting orders, which, you know, to go from struggling with constitutional law in, you know, the spring of your first year, you know, to go from that to getting a stack of papers and a judge saying, okay, tell me what you think, go write an order. It's kind of a jarring experience for that first week on the job, but really it's something that you settle into pretty nicely, I think. So
they've kind of outlined, I guess, the various ways that you can find the judicial internships. When you look through your packet after this program, you'll see that there are lists of D.C. area judges who frequently hire interns or externs. There's also a page with information about the ABA's Judicial Internship Opportunity Program, which Claudia mentioned. Also, like Emily mentioned, you can always check on CareerLink, and especially, as David mentioned, you know, sending out lots of applications is how a majority of people do get these internships. Since you were with a specialty court, Emily, do you want to explain a little bit about why you were interested in the tax court and how you came to find, how you found it, how it was different perhaps than what the others would have experienced?
Well, I have to say, I really lucked out with getting my internship, because usually at the tax court, they take a lot of people who have advanced degrees in tax. But then again, I mean, there still are situations where they're going to need help in their chambers, and they might reach out to a law student intern, which is what my situation was. But I saw it on CareerLink, and I applied, and the judge called me in for an interview, probably like any other clerkship interview, and it just was a fit and offered me the job on the spot, and I was there for the summer, and then I was surprised to get the chance to work with her again, but I was very happy and it worked out.
Do you want to explain a little bit about the special jurisdiction of the court?
Okay. Well, basically, the tax court is kind of like another federal court, but they just have jurisdiction to handle a certain kind of tax claim. So basically they have jurisdiction before you have paid your liability for the tax year, so they only handle like a certain type of claims. Other courts, actually, if you're interested in tax, also have jurisdiction to handle tax claims. The circuit courts do, and the Court of Small Claims also hears tax cases. But the tax court is just like one court you can work for if you want to do tax.
And Claudia, since you interned or externed with both a trial court and an appellate court, can you tell the students a little bit about the differences in what you did in those two positions?
Yeah, there are definitely important differences between the two courts aside from the litigation process. The differences between the two courts are important for you to understand, even when you're going into the application process. You want to kind of tailor your cover letters to, if you're applying to a trial court level or if you're applying to an appellate court level, you should make those kind of distinctions in your cover letter. At the trial court level, so this would be either your D.C. Superior Court or it would be a U.S. District Court, which is the federal level, it's the court of first instance. So there you can, in my case, I was with a judge that was doing civil calendar. You could also apply to judges that are on the criminal calendar. You can just find that out by calling and asking their judicial assistant what calendar they're assigned to. But you're going to see everything, very basic level things. You're going to see things such as property transfer issues, contract disputes, medical malpractice. You're going to see every Friday morning the judges go through the docket. And they'll have about 2 hours where they just call cases, and they just have small hearings on whatever dispute or whatever issue may be present at the time. So the trial courts are, I think, an excellent experience for you to really see what Civ Pro is. You're gonna, aside from being in court, you're also going to see a lot of the motions practice that is basically all of the stacks of paper that that the judge has, and he or she is going to ask you to read motions and give recommendations on those motions. So I think it's a very valuable experience. Like I said, if you have a particular preference for criminal or civil, if you're at a state court, if you're applying to state court judges, you can find that out and apply accordingly. If you are going to apply to the D.C. District Court, then those judges are going to handle both criminal and civil cases. So you don't need to, you wouldn't make that distinction there. The appellate level is quite different. This is D.C. At the D.C. Court of Appeals or the D.C. Circuit. Similar things apply, state federal distinction, but you're not dealing with the day-to-day routine of calling cases, advising on simple motions. You're doing much more research. The opinions that judges produce at the appellate level are more detailed. They entail a lot more research in depth into the legal issues that they're presented with. So I think in that situation, you may have a much more supporting role as an intern versus actually drafting memos or drafting orders, but I could be wrong about that.
Now, Dave, you were the one on our panel who did an internship or externship outside of the D.C. area. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience in applying outside D.C. area and if that involved anything different?
The interviewing process obviously was very different. After I got an interview, the Career Services Office set up a teleconference thing. So I was basically talking on a screen to the judge, which was very high tech, much more high tech than I'm used to. So that was a little bit disconcerting. But in general, the process was pretty similar. In terms of the work, I agree with a lot of what the other panelists have said. You know, the appellate level is much, much more academic. That's the way I had always heard it described. And a co-clerk of mine in North Carolina when I was there this summer had just come from the Fourth Circuit, and she said that, you know, I'm so happy to be back at the district court level because I just love my day being hectic. Like, I love having lots of stuff to do at the trial court level. I love dealing with the motions, and I don't really like being in the more, you know, removed atmosphere from being in the courtroom. So definitely take those characteristics of each court into consideration when you're deciding where you want to apply.
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about the time commitment you had, how many hours a day, how many days a week, practical things like that, so that, you know, if you're looking as a 1L or 2L to spend your summer doing this, what it involves.
Yeah, my time commitments this summer were usually about 8:30 to 5, maybe a little bit later if we had a, you know, particularly difficult case or trial going on, around 8:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. But another benefit, I should say, is that, you know, a lot of these programs where they bring in interns for the summer or even just within the judges' chambers, they design a lot of really interesting programs for you. So when I was working at the Western District of North Carolina, we got to meet with the United States Attorney for the Western District. We got to talk to the Federal Defender's Office. We got to visit jail, which was a lot more interesting than you think. You know, there's a lot of inner workings to the legal community in a courthouse, and that I think is a huge, huge benefit just that you would get from working with a judge. Aside from being in chambers and really getting inside the judge's head, those benefits are a lot worse in a lot of ways than the actual work you do. So.
Do differences over here, I guess, how many weeks did you work during the summer? And then, Claudia, if you can talk a little bit about your commitment during the academic year as well.
Yeah, I pretty much went from the end of school. I took about a week off after exams and started right away with my internship. And it went on until the end of, like, the school year, and the end of the summer, and then right when the school year was starting, I stopped the day before classes started. And just because there was so much, and it's kind of hard when you're working on opinions and things, you want to see things through. So that took a lot of time. But it was strictly 9 to 5. I mean, I didn't put in more than 8 hours there, so pretty low-key.
My summer internship was really, it was only 6 weeks. I was doing it for a short period of time because I was splitting my summer. It's something you guys might think of doing. The externship I did during the semester was 15 hours a week. So that was, I guess maybe was it 10? Well, 15, I guess. It was 2 full days plus a half day. But most judges, I think, look for a minimum of 10-hour commitment from you. I think it's kind of difficult to find judges that are willing to take in an intern for less than 10 hours a week because there's a certain amount of flow to the office that you need to be there enough in order to know what's going on so that you're not in their way.
Okay. Could you guys talk a little bit more about the actual duties that you had? You mentioned doing some writing and some field trips you got to take, but, you know, who supervised you at the various places, whether, you know, what types of things you were assigned? Did you work primarily with a judge or a law clerk, anything like that?
Well, the tax court is actually pretty interesting. The judges go out on circuit. They go to different cities around the U.S., and my judge just happens to be out on circuit during the summer. So when she was out, she would fax in requests and have us do research. So I did a lot of that in addition to, like, working on opinions. She assigned me some opinions to work on for the summer. So that was pretty much the bulk of my work for the judge. I also, the tax court has weekly motion hearings, so I went to some of those. And one of the circuit, they call them calendar calls, one of the judges is actually in D.C. for his calendar call, so I went to that for a while, too. I think that was pretty much what I did.
At D.C. Superior, I worked mostly on motions that were pending. So that's basically a matter of looking at the two, at the motion and the reply motion that has been filed, reading them carefully, researching any issues that need to be determined, and then preparing a recommendation. The recommendations that I prepared really weren't written because it was more for me to prepare to go speak with the judge about it. And then I think he would have his clerk write the motion or something like that. But that was kind of the day-to-day. I was supervised by the clerk. Any questions that I had, I asked the clerk. You learn when to go ask the judge and when to not go ask the judge. And then aside from that, there was one more long-term writing project, and that was an opinion that that he was writing on an administrative appeal case. And basically that entailed me digging through a really, really long record. This case had been pending for about 4 years now through the different levels of review, and it was a really challenging experience because nobody really tells you step by step how to go about sifting through the record, determining what is important, what isn't important, and then the judge is really just going to tell you the judge's opinions about what has happened and what he needs to see in the final opinion. But other than that, you know, it's up to you to kind of draft something out. And so that was a longer term. That was about 3 months that it took from beginning to end. And that ended up being a really, really good project for me.
Yeah, my experience was really similar. Most of my direct contact on a day-to-day basis consisted of, you know, talking with the clerks about different legal issues and stuff like that. But as soon as I had a draft order written, I would submit it to the judge, and then he and I would schedule a time to actually, you know, sit and talk about where I was coming from on my position and where he was coming from, and some different changes that would either make my writing more effective or, you know, change it to his point of view. Additionally, I basically split time. I should kind of start again, but I basically split time between civil motions and sentencing hearings. And in preparing for sentencing hearings, I basically just prepared a little cheat sheet for the judge before going in there, just, you know, saying what the offense was, what the sentencing guidelines had said, and allowing him to make his determination based on that. And also before sentencing hearings, he would often call me in and we would discuss, well, what do you think is appropriate for, you know, this kind of an offense, and given these facts and given consideration of the pre-sentence report. So in sum, most of the contact is with the clerks, but a lot of the face-to-face contact with the judge is also there, depending on the judge you work with.
Could you tell a little bit about, I guess, the value of the internship experience, you know, in terms of getting to know the judge or your writing skills, or what do you think you got out of it?
Yeah, well, I came into the experience really wanting to know what a judge's chambers looked like, how they worked, and I think I definitely got that out of the experience. My writing definitely improved. I definitely learned how to pare down language and get right to the point, which is something every prospective lawyer needs to know, I think. But at the same time, to see how a certain judge makes decisions, it will really make you an effective lawyer later on, especially if you're interested in something like litigation, which is what I'm interested in. So at the trial level, knowing what kinds of factors a judge may take into account is an invaluable experience. So.
Yeah, I would completely second what David just said. And I'm a big proponent of judicial internships or externships. I think that the skills that you obtain are unique. The legal writing that you do there is extremely valuable, and you'll improve over a very short amount of time. Aside from the practical skills of writing, though, it's what David was saying. You really gain insight as to, one, how chambers work, two, what actually matters to the judge. You start to be able to distinguish the legal issues that are most relevant, and so, yeah, once you get into practice, you're going to be able to kind of transfer that body of knowledge that you've gained into what you're turning into the court, what you're submitting to the court. I would highly encourage all of you guys to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I've never written as much as I did this past summer. It was great to finally get to apply what I learned in tax. Another great thing about being at the tax court was I knew I wanted to go into tax, and there were so many people there who, you know, were clerking for different judges, had been different places, had different kinds of experiences, and it was really helpful for me to talk to them and figure out what I wanted to do with tax, if I wanted to try to pursue a clerkship or get an LLM in tax. So having that kind of those kind of people around me was very helpful for me to figure out what I wanted to do. But the research and the writing was just fantastic.
Now, Emily, you touched on a little bit, how the internship helped you both kind of get an idea of what you wanted to do in the future and actually turned into a future job for you. Claudia and Dave, could you talk a little bit about how it helped you either get other positions or kind of help you narrow down what you wanted to do after law school or what you might want to do in the future?
Yeah, I know that the experiences that I had with my judges were critical in me securing the job I have for next year. I was able to land a federal clerkship at the Western District of Missouri for next year, and I know that the fact that you judges like that you've interned with other judges before, because you are still a rookie when you get in there as a clerk, but you're not a complete rookie. You kind of know what is going to be expected of you, and you know how to kind of navigate the chambers and so, you know, I know that they were very important for me doing what I'm going to be doing next year.
And now you just went through fall recruitment and everything. How do you think the internship helped you as far as kind of marketing yourself?
It was definitely one of the first questions that jumped out from a lot of employers. They said, "Wow, you were working for a judge last summer. What was your favorite experience? What was it was something that jumped out to people that were looking to hire. And so, you know, for that benefit, you know, it's sitting right there for you. But aside from that, I think that I came into the summer thinking, you know, I would work on some random motion and it would absolutely pique my interest and I would find exactly what I wanted to do. But I think the summer really broadens the scope of what I feel like I'm interested in. So it's another way to kind of look at the law instead of taking classes, instead of, you know, going to your torts class and your Civ Pro class, you could get something on family law, you could get something on, you know, criminal procedure, you could get absolutely anything that comes in the door. And that kind of uncertainty, I think, is one of the most challenging and interesting things about working for a judge. It's one of the things that I really loved. So.
Okay. Now, you all touched briefly on how you got your internship or externship positions, but could you talk in a little bit more detail about things like the timeline when you applied, how did you decide where to apply, you know, when did you get an interview and an offer and things like that, just so you have, so our students here have a little bit more nuts and bolts about what exactly happens?
I guess I started in around mid-January, as soon as I got back, actually sending out letters and sending out resumes. But over Christmas break, I started looking around at different locations where I thought I wanted to work, you know, in terms of Pennsylvania, which is where I'm originally from, and the D.C. area, and North Carolina, which is where I was an undergrad. So I, as soon as I got back, as soon as I started classes, I started sending out letters. And then as soon as interviews started coming in, and, you know, late January, early February, I started scheduling them. And by mid-February, I had made my decision. I'm not sure what exact kind of detail you want me to go into, but definitely send out as many as you can. You know, that was a lot of really good advice that I got, is that, you know, it's an extremely competitive process, and there are lots of qualified people who end up working for judges. So the more places you send them out to, the more chances you have. And I think it's definitely something you guys should take advantage of, even if it means, you know, touching up your resume a little bit over Christmas break.
The internship after my first year, which was by way of the Judicial Internship Opportunity Program, I applied for that in December. That was early, but you really kind of need to keep your eyes open if you're interested in doing this, because early application is important. I mean, January is early, so that's really good. That was after I applied, I was interviewed, then I interviewed with the judge, and then I was placed with that judge. But for the externship that I did during the spring semester, I found that on CareerLink. I submitted my application. This was going to be for a spring internship beginning in January. So I applied in around November, I think beginning of November of the semester prior, and interviewed. And then I know that he was interviewing a number of other candidates as well. Luckily, at a networking reception, I saw his clerk, and so I reiterated my interest there. And one thing that I would say when you're going into an interview with a judge is be enthusiastic, because they want to know that you're excited to learn, and they want to know you're excited to work hard. So just as a rule of thumb, I would say any interview you go into, make sure that you're enthusiastic about the opportunity. When I was there during the spring, I saw tons of applications come in for the summer. And that was a really interesting experience because the clerk, he's like, here, you know, look through these and pick out some that you think we should bring in for an interview. And, I mean, they were going to narrow them down even more. And it's amazing how many qualified candidates there are, but, I mean, you're qualified as well. You each have something to offer, so you need to make sure that in that cover letter you are setting yourself apart. Be careful of doing these form cover letters because everybody's doing form cover letters. So if you want to intern with a judge in D.C., tell that judge why you want to be in D.C. A lot of them want to know that you have a particular interest in the geographic location or in public service. That's another kind of thing that I know my judge looked for in his cover letters. So in any way you can, see if you have any sort of even tangential connection with this clerk, because that will help bring your application materials to the top of the pile as well.
Yeah, I agree with what Claudia said. I think a lot of the judges see so many different qualified applicants, but, I mean, in the chambers, sometimes it's like, you know, maybe 6 or 8 people in that office. Sometimes they're more interested in finding someone who's a good fit for the office, someone who, you know, who gets along with the clerks and stuff. So that's another thing I think they look for in the interviews. I know definitely with my judge, I met with her first, and I met with her clerks. But they're looking for someone who's going to fit well with their office, who kind of has the same interests as the judge, things like that. So you might want to stress that in your cover letters, too.
I'm just going to ask one more question of them, and then I'm going to give you the opportunity to ask questions as well, so be thinking of them. But I guess, could each of you tell us what one or two big pieces of advice you would give, besides the advice you've already given, for students looking for internships or externships?
I guess what I would recommend is to treat, if you get, you know, an academic year or a summer externship at a court, kind of try to treat that as like a clerkship. Try to, you know, put as much as you can into it. I know with my judge, she had this one opinion a month rule that she held her clerks to. They had to get one opinion out a month. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try to get one out a month and keep myself to that same standard. And I feel like if you're putting yourself in that position and trying to, you know, be a clerk, they're more likely to see that and want to take you on as a clerk afterwards. I think that was definitely what helped me get hired for a clerkship after. Another thing, I guess, is just try, when you're interviewing, just, you know, try to appeal to the clerks and the judge. Don't really, it's not kind of like a big law firm interview where you just have to stress your credentials. I think that they see so many qualified candidates that they want to know about you and decide, you know, who they're going to hire based on personality and things like that. So I think that's pretty important to stress in an interview.
The first thing I would say is, if you get called in for an interview, make sure that you are friendly to everyone in chambers. The judges hold their clerks and their judicial assistants very close to them because they spend so much time with them. And, you know, The judicial assistant, the JA, both of the judges that I worked for, they had had the same JA for 10 plus years. Mm-hmm. And so it's somebody that their opinion counts quite a bit. And if you are friendly and open with them, then you know they're going to like you and they're going to give you a good recommendation when the judge asks them, well, what did you think of that person? So make sure you're friendly to everyone there. And the other thing I would say is know that when you're the hours that you're there, if you're there, 6 hours a day or 3 hours a day, you really are under a microscope. Everything you do is kind of being watched by the clerk. And so if you make wise use of your time there, they're going to respect you and they're going to appreciate the hard work that you do. It's not a place, it's not an internship that you should seek out if you know that you're the type of person that likes to get your work done in 2 hours and then, go on the internet for the next hour and a half that you're there. That's fine, there's no problem with that, but a judicial internship probably isn't for you if that's the kind of worker you are. So that's the other thing I would say.
Yeah, just with regard to the application process, I would really recommend that that you guys either start by pursuing legal connections that you may already have, or really try to establish some. Believe it or not, all of you guys are already connected by having professors and by having lots of people at this school who are really there to help you. So really utilize those connections. Then from there, if you have people in undergrad that were interested in or that worked in pre-law or stuff like that, there's lots of different avenues to getting a judicial internship or externship, and it's really up to you to find the way to do that. And the easiest way to do that is to really look at some connections you may already have. And if you don't have those connections right now, that's okay, because there's time for you guys to go do informational interviews with different lawyers in the city, with different even clerks in the city. There are lots of opportunities in this city and in other cities to do that.
If I can just add, a lot of your fellow students, 2Ls and 3Ls, have done internships already. And so, if you're part of whatever organization you may be a part of here at WCL, shoot out an email to that listserv and say, hey, have any of you done a judicial internship within the past year or two? I'd like to talk to you, because a lot of students have done judicial internships, and that's really the most, I would say that's the easiest way, or at least the easiest first step to take in trying to narrow down some judges that you can apply to.
Do any of you have questions for our panelists?
Yeah. Is there any reason why you would not want to do a judicial internship, like something you'd be missing by not going to a firm or the government or a public interest organization?
Okay, just to repeat it so everyone's heard, kind of what are the downsides or what are you missing out on when you do a judicial internship?
I don't know. I kind of feel like that after my first year, I worked at a nonprofit over the summer, and I was thinking, I wish I had put in the time and applied over Christmas, because people who did it had the most incredible experiences. But I mean, then again, you can still do one later on. I was fortunate to be able to do it last summer, so you're not necessarily foreclosed if you don't do it your first summer. But I think it's something I regretted right away. I was like, oh, I wish I'd used this summer for that. But
and what Emily said is a very good point. Going to school in a city like D.C., there are tons and tons of judges. And so while the summer judicial internships in D.C. might be a little bit more competitive, you can always look, even looking again at the same judges, if you don't get one your first try, for the fall semester or the spring semester of your second or third year. Do either of you feel like you missed out on something by doing an internship instead of another position over the summer?
Well, just in terms of general things, if you're looking to make money, getting a judicial internship, externships, it's not going to be that for you. Then you'd probably want to pursue a firm job or something else where you would actually be getting paid for the summer. And I guess the other thing is, if you have a very specific interest, so if you know you want to do CERCLA regulation, environmental stuff, Well, when you're working for a judge, you're going to get whatever comes in the door. Now, you may have a choice of a few things that comes in the door, but if you have a very specific interest, then maybe you want to look towards a governmental organization or towards a firm, a smaller firm that does that kind of work, you know. But as someone who just came off of a summer after 1L, I would say, do something after your first year that gives you a really broad spectrum, because as much as you may know you're interested in something, after first year, there's so much out there that you haven't even seen yet. So
I would totally, I was going to say the exact same thing about if you have a specialized interest. Otherwise, I feel, there's absolutely no downside to a judicial internship. You, as a rule of thumb, I feel like you can't go wrong by doing a judicial internship. It's good experience for you, and then it looks great on your resume. So it's definitely a very safe bet, while at the same time being really strategically a good idea.
Other questions?
Yep. I guess as a practical question, since judicial internships aren't paid, how do you all go about, your living expenses and things for being in D.C. during the summer?
The question, in case you didn't hear, was, for purposes of the podcast, was how you paid your living expenses and things like that, since judicial internships are unpaid.
Mine actually was paid, so I think some of them maybe, I think it probably depends on what court.
But I think it is rare.
Yeah, I've looked at, definitely.
The judicial internship opportunity does give a small stipend. It's a modest stipend if you do it through that. Otherwise, I would just suggest that, you're going to be doing, as Dave was saying, you're going to be doing it from 8:30 to 5 or 9 to 6. The judge may not want you there 5 days a week. It may be a 4 days a week thing. And, you can pick up a part-time job at, like, a restaurant or a retail shop or whatever. It's not the kind of position that's going to suck you in 24/7 so that you have time for nothing else. So I think it's amenable to having a part-time job during the summer.
That was one of my first questions, too, when I was looking at doing it last year. And what I ended up doing was getting academic credit. So I got federal aid, and I ended up getting 6 credits for working in North Carolina last summer. So I did that, and that helped pay for my, my personal expenses. And, I did that in anticipation of going part-time later on in law school. So sometime during third year, whether it be first or second semester, I'm planning to go part-time, so I can combine that with my summer of 6 credits. So it works out to the same, if not less, tuition-wise.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
In the spring, I'm going to be going part-time, and I think it works out financially. I mean, you might even save a little bit because you paid
right,
tuition,
tuition
for those
goes
credits
up. Yeah.
Earlier on. So, but yeah. Hi.
Yeah. Is there any real difference in, like, an internship versus an externship, except that you get a school credit, or are your, like, duties different, or do you have to take a summer thing?
Okay, so the question was about the difference between an internship and an externship, and I can tell you from the judge's point of view, almost no judge sees any difference. They generally don't know the difference. However, from a classes and credits and that sort of thing point of view, if you guys want to talk about it, I know you made that conscious choice.
Yeah. So basically what I did was, for 3 days in May and 3 days in August, you meet with other people doing a distance externship. And, you just kind of do seminars on, like, legal ethics and your positions and, different legal dilemmas you might face during the summer. And then during the summer, I think you'd have to check with Ava Sanders, the externship coordinator, about specifics. But what I had to do, I'm assuming it's not going to change, is you have to do, like, weekly journal entries, just kind of about what you did at work and, just kind of reflecting on your experiences. And then you come back together in August and you share that with the whole group. You kind of do a presentation on your judge and the kind of work that you did. So that's basically how you get from point A to point B in terms of getting those credits.
Yeah, Claudia, you did an externship during the school year as well. Do you want to talk about, I guess, the difference a little bit? Because there are ways to set it up if you're in D.C. to do an externship as well.
Sure. So if you're going to do an externship with a judge in D.C., you can extern for A minimum, I believe, of 10 hours a week, maximum of 20 hours a week, or 25.
During the school year.
During the school year. And so then you'll get a maximum of, I guess you can get a maximum of how many, 5 credits? I don't know. I did it for 3 credits. I was externing 15 hours a week, and then you attend a weekly seminar once a week. And then it's basically a spread out version of what Dave was talking about. You have 2 externship professors during the seminar. You'll have a class of about 15 other students that are externing in other places. You get to hear cool stories about what people are doing at the public defender's office or whatever. So it's kind of fun. It's a relaxed environment. You do weekly journal entries as well, and at the end of the semester you give a short presentation. So it's really a great way to just make time for doing an externship, whether it be with a judicial whether it be with a judge or not. It's a good thing to do at least during one semester, I would say, while you're here.
And Ava Sanders in the externship office can answer very specific questions about externships. And I believe also, if you're one else, you have an externship fair coming up in January that's on campus, and there are plenty of employers, including judges and courts, who come to campus for the externship fair as well. Other questions?
Yes. What were the days like? Were you sitting in front of a computer doing research the whole day?
So the question was, what was your typical day?
Yeah, that's probably something we should have talked about. I did a lot of research just kind of in the judge's conference room, but something that my judge and the clerks were really good about was encouraging me to go observe court, even if it wasn't something that I was exactly working on. So, you know, as I said before, the courtroom is a very, very busy atmosphere. And there's a lot of stuff going on, even if your judge isn't involved with it. So, my days would consist of working for a large part of the day, if not all of the day, but then also courtroom observation, going, doing those like lunch and learn type things with the Federal Defender's Office or the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Yeah, my days, I would start out in the morning. They would circulate the opinions that were going out that day. We have to read them and just make sure there are no, you know, errors, if there are any questions of law that people had, make sure everything was resolved. And I spend, you know, the rest of my morning also looking at, like, the tax notes newsletter that they circulated. And then, I mean, for the rest of the day, I would, yeah, do research, work on opinions, unless the judge called and needed something or, you know, had a project for me to do. But it was pretty much working at my own pace throughout the summer.
With the D.C. Superior Court judge, so I was there 3 days a week. Fridays were always the calendar, the docket, so it was just about a couple of hours where the judge, like I said before, was calling cases. So that was always interesting. As an intern, usually the judge will let you sit in the front, sort of near the clerk, and that's pretty eventful. It can be pretty eventful. And other than that, on the, you know, during the other weekdays, it's just sitting in chambers. There was a small desk for me in the clerk's office, and you know, you just have to be diligent about what you're doing. There's no G-chat at the courthouse. So.
Yeah, they have Word Perfect at the tax court. That's it.
Okay, other questions?
I just have one about writing samples. I assume you all had to submit one when you were applying. So how long was your sample, and what did you use, actually?
Great question about writing samples. Do you want to talk about yours, and then I'll talk about generally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was a Dean's Fellow for Legal Rhetoric last year, and I was telling the students last year that I used my first memo after I got it back from the professor. You know, I sent it back to him and told him I wanted to use it as a writing sample, and fortunately he was very willing to help me work on it. So I kind of polished it up over Christmas break and then sent that out, and that I thought was good because it's about 6 or 8 pages, I think, which is ideal.
The internship I did after my first year, I did use the open memo, I believe, or a portion of the open memo for that. But I would say as soon as you have a different writing sample, you know, ditch your first year writing samples because it doesn't set you apart at all. So for the spring externship, I had taken appellate advocacy in the fall, and that was a much better writing sample, much more substantive and meaty, and so I used about 8 pages of that for my writing sample for the spring externship.
Yeah, I also used a portion of my open memo. I think it was just, you know, part of the discussion section, and then with just a little paragraph up top saying, you know, just explaining what the assignment was. And,
yeah. Generally speaking, your writing sample should be 5 to 10 pages. At this point, you probably only have something from rhetoric if you're a first-year student. So really, that's what you're going to be using. You can, I would definitely make sure you reread it, check for any errors, things like that, because you don't want to give them any reason to reject you. That said, once you are a second-year student or looking as a third-year student, something like that, I would not use something as far back as first year, because even in your first summer job, wherever it is, after your first year of law school, you're going to improve a lot in your writing. Just as you go through law school, you're going to get a lot better. But generally, like Dave did, you know, using a portion of something, if it's too long, somewhere between 5 and 10 pages, unless a judge specifies otherwise, is a great length. You know, something around 7 pages, 6 to 8, something like that would be ideal.
If I can just add a couple more things, it should be a sample that is not heavily edited by someone else, because the judges are expecting to see a piece of writing that is yours, and that is almost a lack of integrity if you're going to submit something that's been edited 3 times by your legal dean's fellow for a writing sample. So be careful of that. Another good thing about doing an externship after your first year during that summer is you can, you know, specifically ask the judge and the clerk to make sure they assign you something where you're going to be doing a writing, where you can produce a writing sample, because then by the time you're done with your first summer, you're going to have a fresh writing sample, something that's more sophisticated, and you can use that in time for fall recruitment or whatever jobs you're going to be applying for the next year.
Other questions? All right, just to kind of review briefly what you have in your packets before you'll have to go to your next classes. Basically, what you have in there is a lot of basic information about judicial internships, exactly what you need to send to apply. So the basic components of your internship application packet would be your cover letter and resume. Both of those should be completely error-free. Writing sample, as we discussed. A transcript, if you're applying after you have grades. Obviously, if it's something where you're applying, you know, for instance, the Judicial Internship Opportunity Program, the deadline for applications is December 31st. You don't have any grades. You won't have any grades before then. So that's something that if you do apply to positions before you have grades, you might want to update them later on when you get your grades. And then I would enclose a list of references, 2 or 3 references, ideally someone from the law school if you have someone you can use. And then generally employers, people like that would also make good references. There also is information in there about D.C. area judges who frequently hire interns or externs. And there's a list of D.C. area judges who have specifically said they will not hire interns or externs, so don't waste your time applying to those. There's information in there about the Judicial Internship Opportunity Program. There is just sort of a sample cover letter, but remember, it's just kind of the anatomy of a cover letter, so don't copy it because it's not going to end up being very good or very unique or set you apart, which all of our panelists have stressed how important that is. And finally, there's some tips on the back of, you know, if you're looking at doing a judicial clerkship possibly somewhere down the line, things you can do to increase your chances. You can also set up appointments with me or with other career counselors through the OCPD in Suite 122. And you can join the Judicial Listserv, which is a weekly listserv where we send out generally internship opportunities for current students, clerkship opportunities for 3Ls and alumni, information about upcoming programs, things like that. You sign up for that through CareerLink. If you go into your profile section, you can sign up for a variety of listservs there. Please make sure that you signed in and that you got a packet. And looks like there's a little bit of pizza left if anyone wants some. Thanks.